World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbinger.
Hey, I'm in a good mood today. What the heck's going on? The joy of the Lord is my strength today. Hey, Spencer, I'm not up on my own screen. I don't want to mess with it. Don't know how to get up there. I'm just telling you, I've got joy this morning. That didn't happen for me a lot, you know. We need to be joyful. And sometimes we, as Pastor Tom Gill said, discussion I had with him yesterday, we've got to be careful. We become what we hate. Right? We got to be careful. We become what we hate. And I don't want to become what I hate. I don't want to be a pickle-faced, woe is me. Joy of the Lord is my strength, man. It is every day. And the Lord's given me, for some reason, he tapped me on the shoulder today and gave me a joyful spirit. Let me read something to you today. This is on Facebook. My friend Russell Johnson, when I coached at Fairfield Christian Academy, Russell's the guy that lured me down there to coach. And he said this today. I wish I could pull it up, but I'm not going to pull it up. Just listen to me. David prayed in private, and that led him to a stand in public. Let that sink in a minute. David prayed in private, and it led him to a stand in public. May the Lord forgive his leaders of people hiding in the hillsides, while evil Goliaths rob, steal, and destroy our children. Well, we know who those Goliaths are, don't we? Culture and so much potential harvest. Listen to this. Many of today's Christian leaders want to quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer and then go live like Neville Chamberlain. Wow, huh? Is that a line? They want to quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer and live Neville Chamberlain lives. I now understand, Pastor Johnson says, why Roe versus Wade is still in the books. It's easier to comprehend why the confusion of God's design in marriage dominates so much of our culture. In many areas, the body of Christ has lost her spinal column. Now, I'm not going to open a can of worms, although I'm going to open a can of worms here at some point, and you guys can ponder this. Right now, I'm going to drop a nuke on you, and you can chew on this one. Folks, the bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. It is not the church. I'm just going to drop that bomb. You can study it later. I'm not in a fighting mood this morning. I'm in a worshiping mood here this morning. Let me go here real quickly. Pull up Steve Deck and the boys. I think that's what it says. Is that what it says, Coach? What does it say? Where is it? There they are. Craig, are you out there? Steve Deck out there? Myra, Steve Deck. Myra, Rusty, and Craig Mickle went to the Four Corners yesterday again in Washington, D.C. And there on your screen, you see there's Steve Deck and our man Craig. If I know Deck, he's got something written down he's reading. And there's Rusty, and these are at the four different cornerstones again in Washington, D.C. yesterday, folks. Rusty and Craig. Steve Deck's bending over there, and this is the third one, taking authority over those wicked places. Myra's there somewhere, I think. There they are, the fourth one. Craig, can you fill us in, or Steve Deck, or anybody fill it, or Myra, whoever, fill us in a little bit on what you guys did yesterday?
Yeah, Coach, I'm here.
Go, Steve.
Craig planted a seed in me a few months ago about going back to cleanse the land, and I was on, I'm on spiritual warfare every Wednesday with the Hear the Watchman, and our girl from New Zealand, Annalise, mentioned about staking the land with scripture on the land. And I did a little research on that, and I did research of the time of when that August 17th was an important date in history for that maritime constitutional of 1867 or six, whatever year it was.
Right.
So we set the date for August, and I was just going to go back with Craig and OJ. OJ couldn't make it, and things didn't pan out right in August. So we reset the date for September 15th back in August. And we, you know, it was just going to be Craig and I. And then Craig got a hold of Rusty, was available. And then 8 o'clock last night, or the night before, I'm in bed, and he says, "How about Myra?" And I said, "Sure." And it just, you know, it hit me that, you know, the four of us, you know, one for each cornerstone. I had a prayer that cleansed the land, and we prayed over it. We put communion cups in the ground and salt, and a wooden stake with scripture on it. Pounded them in and anointed the stakes with oil, olive oil, and prayed over the, you know, prayed over the oil, and then doused the stakes with them the night before. That's where I sent you the picture of that, and then we pounded them in.
Turn the chat off, please. Turn the chat off, Spencer. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
We pounded a stake at each one of them, you know, and I was concerned about the last one on the west, because from what I could tell on the map, I thought it was in the river or whatever. And boy, was I way off. And I just wanted to have the last place. I wanted to be private, you know, because it's a longer prayer. And it couldn't have been a more perfect day. And then when we accomplished the mission, we're driving home. And then the skies opened up, and it was raining like never, you know, torrential downpour. So I guess God opening up the heavens to cleanse the land with the rain, you know. But what a great day.
So anyway, God bless you guys. So we went back again, took authority over those four corners in Washington, D.C. You guys make me so proud. There's so many good things going on. Maybe it was Randy. Somebody texted me yesterday, said, "Coach, just sit back a minute and look. Look what your team's doing. You're not even telling them to do it. They're just prompted, and they go and do it. You guys make me so proud, man. Hey, listen, I'm sorry, real quickly. I'm speaking in Buffalo Sunday morning. I just say that to those of you who are out in the Buffalo area. Maybe you can spread the news. And you say, "What news, Coach?" Well, I'm speaking in Buffalo. I'll get more information to you. It's a, I believe it's a home church type situation. But they would like to invite anybody up in the Buffalo area to be able to come Sunday morning. I will be speaking. It's only 4.5 hours. It's not going to kill me to drive up. So I'm going to be up there on that. Okay. Let me see. People have asked me how to get a hold of to send a card to Pastor Bill and Connie Dunphy and their family and the church body. I have an address for you right now. Let me see. How do I do this? How do I get this address? Where did I put it? Lord, where is that? I got so much stuff here. here it is. Okay, you ready, folks? You can just send it to the church, Pastor Bill. Just put Pastor Bill on it if you want to. And that address is 331 East Church Street, believe it or not. 331 East Church Street. People have asked me, they want to send cards. 331 East Church Street, and it is Warsaw, like Poland, Warsaw. And the zip is 43844. So again, 331 East Church Street. Maybe somebody can type, oh, they're in the chat. Show me. 331 East Church Street, Warsaw, Ohio, 43844. And my heart grieves deeply for that family. Funeral will be tomorrow. And God bless Bill. Just God bless him, man. I don't know what to say.
It is Warsaw, brother.
Yeah. It's Warsaw. I want something else. God in the womb. I tell you, I'm lighthearted today. Okay, I was pretty harsh yesterday, man. I had an edge on me yesterday. Holy Spirit put it on me. He put a different one on me today. God in the womb, Spence. If you can get that up on the screen there, man. Anybody, while we're waiting to get that up, there it is. Thank you. Okay. Is Silver here? Come on, Silver. Wake up.
I'm always awake.
Okay, Silver, read this for us. Folks, this is powerful, man. I don't know where I found it. Go ahead and read that for us real quick, Joe.
Okay, Coach. In a mother's womb were two babies. One asked the other, "Do you believe in life after delivery?" The other replied, "Why, of course. There has to be something after delivery. Maybe we are here to prepare ourselves for what will be later." "Nonsense," said the first. "There is no life after delivery. What kind of life would that be?" The second said, "I don't know, but there will be more light than here. Maybe we will walk with our legs and eat from our mouths. Maybe we will have other senses that we can't understand now." The first replied, "That's absurd. Walking is impossible, and eating with our mouths, ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrition and everything we need. But the umbilical cord is so short. Life after delivery is to be logically excluded." The second insisted, "Well, I think there is something, and maybe it's different than it is here. Maybe we don't need this physical cord anymore." The first replied, "Nonsense. And moreover, if there is life, then why has no one ever come back from there? Delivery is the end of life. And in after delivery, there is nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. It takes us nowhere." "Well, I don't know," said the second. "But certainly we will meet Mother, and she will take care of us." The first replied, "Mother? You actually believe in Mother? That's laughable. If Mother exists, then where is she now?" The second said, "She's all around us. We are surrounded by her. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist." Said the first, "Well, I don't see her. So it's only logical that she doesn't exist." To which the second replied, "Sometimes when you're in silence and you focus and listen, you can perceive her presence and you can hear her loving voice calling down from above." Maybe this was one of the best explanations of the concept of God.
Is that powerful or what, huh?
Amen.
No life after birth. No life after birth. Can't see mom. They can't. There's no mom. What's a mom? Right? Wow. Wow. That really, whew. Told you I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a joyful mood today. God in the womb. Unbelievable. Stay with me. I got more. Let's see. What's this? Coach got so much stuff spoiling. Let's see. No, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. Go to Mario Marilla, because I've been talking about this for a couple of days and just haven't had the chance to do it. And I just keep putting it in the background and I don't get around to it. And I'm going to do it. In fact, the Silver Tones of Joe Silver is going to bless you this morning with Mario Marilla. Do you have it? Do you find it there, Spence? There you go. Can you, hey Silver, man, do I need to get you some throat lozenges or something? Do you need to get a drink?
We can get
you through this.
I got a nice cup of hot coffee here.
Because folks, this goes right into the face of what we were talking about yesterday with the churches taking the money, selling out. All right. Listen, yesterday when we shared that, there's only about six or eight of them. Those are the ones that took between 2 and 1 million. How many took 500,000 that are on that list? Go ahead, Joe.
You are now a wartime pastor. You believe you have a choice, but reality and circumstances have made the choice. You can try to stay out of the war, but you will be labeled a traitor. I am not calling you a traitor, but the situation will. Things are deteriorating fast. The battle lines are being drawn so clearly, your silence will label you a turncoat. There is a powerful pull to remain a peacetime pastor. Nostalgia and the yearning for simpler times are strong temptations, but there's no going back. Like it or not, reject it or not, you are now a wartime pastor.
Can anybody just say amen there for a minute? See, it's thrust upon
us. Amen.
Whether we want it or not, it has been thrust upon us.
Amen.
Keep going, Joe. You're doing great.
Amen, bro.
So, what should a wartime pastor be doing right now? 1. A wartime pastor will face the fact that our nation is being led by evildoers. The same villains who led the disastrous exit from Afghanistan are in control of the pandemic. They do not care about people's lives. They do not care that they are despised by most of America. They are dedicated to their Marxist agenda and are bent on destroying this nation. They are reckless and depraved. It is only after a pastor realizes that those who are in power now are totally evil, that they will make the right choices for the good of their own people.
Or be called a traitor. Go ahead, Joe.
2. A wartime pastor will educate their congregation as to the evils of critical race theory, transgenderism, and abortion. They will do it early, emphatically, and will not back down. They know that it is better to cut your losses now than to allow a congregation to fester in cultural compromise.
Wow.
Proverbs 28:23 says, "He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue."
Wow. Stop, Joe. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because we were talking yesterday, right, about that bitter role, right? Huh? Wow. Keep going. Hey, folks, 3. We're at war. They're either with us or against us. They're either traitors to the Lord or they're not. No demilitarized zone. Go ahead, Joe.
3. A wartime pastor will organize his people immediately. They will get everyone down to the school board meeting, the county commission meeting, and the city council meeting, because this is war. You will not get your people to start working together. You will get your people to start working together. Pastor, they are looking to you, and you must lead them.
Come so, on. Jeff, hang on. Let me pause just a second. Jeff Klein took another group. God bless Jeff Klein. Took another group to the school board meeting, raising hell at school board meetings. And I asked him, hey, Jeff, how many pastors were there? You don't need to answer. Go ahead, Joe.
4. A wartime pastor will deal with the hard questions, the unavoidable questions. What will you do when your unvaccinated members won't be able to be treated at the hospitals? They won't even be let in the front door. It is already happening. The church will have to take care of them. Are you ready for that?
Wow.
The church will have to take care of them. Are you ready for that? Some of your people are going to be fired from their jobs. They may have trouble finding any gainful employment. They'll need help, a kind of help you haven't ever dealt with before. And there could be a lot of them. Are you preparing to take care of them?
No. Go ahead.
5.
I'm going to stay in a happy mood, Joe.
A wartime pastor realizes that they will soon be coming after your money. They failed to keep the church locked down. The church came roaring back. Now they will go after your money. How will they do this? Biden is already planning to turn the IRS into a weapon against freedom of religion.
Mm.
Just as Bank of America shut down the bank accounts of conservatives, in the same way, the government is planning a bold and diabolical attack on your finances. Any church that does not comply with the state-run message will have their accounts attacked. Before you can say this can't happen, look back on what has already happened that we thought could never happen.
Wow.
Lastly, a wartime pastor realizes that the church is built on the rock and the gates of hell and will not prevail against it. I want to read that again. Lastly, a wartime pastor realizes that the church is built on the rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, and I say also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, your confession that I am the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The wartime pastor is fighting with the weapons of God. They are confident of victory because of the cross, the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit. However, a peacetime pastor has no part in that promise. The promise to prevail against the gates of hell is the exclusive domain of a pastor who is fully engaged in war, and not the preacher who either has their head in the sand or is running away from it.
As Vinny would say, boom.
Boom.
Amen.
Amen.
Coach, one of the things that I noticed when I was reading that, and I didn't get to really explain it, there is no middle ground. And until we realize that, we have to stop playing the game of compromise. There is no compromise.
Amen, Silver.
Amen. Let me do a couple more things here, okay? I want to get these out, and then I'm going to open it up. Spencer, bring up the email that says COVID deaths. I was grief-stricken yesterday when I found those churches that took money. Now, look, you can get this. We'll get this website to you. It's called, I don't even know where I am. Vaccine Impact, whatever. Just scroll down, because these are highlights of different stories. Just scroll down, Spencer, if you can, slowly. I'll read certain things that pop up there. This is fascinating. WXYZ TV channel in Detroit opened up their Facebook page and said, hey, tell us your stories. Tell us your stories about getting sick. And it went on to 182,000 comments, and all of them talking about the fact that the vaccinated people were getting sick. The vaccinated people were spreading it. All of them. They about crapped their pants. Am I allowed to say crapped? Is that okay? They about crapped their pants because the media didn't get the response they were looking for. So there's a bunch of going down. Keep scrolling down, Spence. Victims of COVID-19 taking shots. Keep going, Spence. Keep going. Young lives destroyed by COVID shots. This is another article we can look at. Dead, 16 years old, dead. 20 years old, dead. Student athlete, dead, dead. Stop, slow, Spencer. Go back up just a tad. Right there. Besides fetal deaths, breastfeeding babies are dying, becoming sick. Scroll on down after the mothers have COVID shots. Military members are dying and suffering crippling effects from COVID vaccines. There's the faces, the people that it's happening to. CDC, teens injected with COVID shots have teens injected with COVID have 7.5 times more likely of death, 15 times more disabilities, and 44 times more hospitalization from the CDC. COVID shots are killing and crippling teens in record numbers. Keep scrolling on down. Pictures of those who are dead. 18 years old, 17 year old, 12 year old. India, the world's first DNA-based vaccine, given emergency use authorization to 12 and 18-year-olds as parents mourn the deaths of their children following COVID injections. 32,000 people dead in Brazil following COVID vaccines. Censored COVID vaccine injured people. Videos of men and women talking about what happened to them after they had the vaccinations who have been silenced. We're destroying the lives of our young with experimental COVID injections. Another list of names. Board-certified occupational therapists, whistleblower, more patients are dying from the vaccine than from COVID. More dying from the vaccine than from COVID. CDC's own stats show that 1,270 premature fetal deaths following COVID shots on the mom. Father and military veteran dies after mandatory COVID shot as children continue to lose parents to COVID-19 shots. Pictures of them and stories. Tragic loss of life following COVID-19 injections. More stories. Fully vaccinated 33-year-old New Yorker dead after cursing unvaccinated idiots as morons. Minnesota woman loses both legs and both hands following second Pfizer shot. Folks, on and on and on and on and on. There's Tom Rentz. The attorney files a lawsuit against the CDC based on sworn declaration from whistleblower claims that 45,000 people have already died within 3 days of COVID shots. That's our buddy Tom Rentz. Canadian doctors, 62% of patients vaccinated for COVID have permanent heart damage. 62%. Comply with COVID vaccination demands and you could end up dead like these people. Dead, 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 dead. Tens of thousands of COVID-19 injured in the U.S. begging for help as the ChristianRevolution.net. As the U.S. turns their back on them. Americans will celebrate Independence Day as CDC reveals almost 7,000 dead and 500,000 injured following COVID injections. Father and daughter die 4 days apart after taking the injection. 1 million, whatever, dead in UK following COVID-19 injections, according to the government. More families devastated from deaths and injuries following COVID-19. Former NFL player collects stories of lives destroyed by COVID-19 shots. 45-year-old bartender tells world, shut the hell up and get vaccinated. He dies 4 months later. On and on and on and on. So the battle that we're facing, we know this, right? The battle we're facing is truth. It's truth. It's truth. Now, hang on. One more, then I just want to get it in here. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, that's good. Two more things. Bear with me. The mayor of Hudson, Ohio. The mayor of Hudson, Ohio. This is local. This is local. By the way, the superintendent of Hudson Schools is a friend of ours. He was our neighbor. He's now the superintendent of the schools, and he's fallen into the woke culture. So yesterday, I want you guys to see this. Scroll down. Yesterday, the mayor of Hudson, Ohio, showed up at the school board meeting and says to the people, you are either going to resign or we are going to criminally charge you. Scroll on down. I want you to watch the mayor. Here he is. Here the mayor. This is the kind of leadership we need, friends.
Members of the board, my name is Craig Schubert. I'm the mayor of this city. It has come to my attention that your educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography in the classroom. I've spoken to a judge this evening. She's already confirmed that. So I'm going to give you a simple choice. You either choose to resign from this Board of Education or you will be charged. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
I say resign and be charged. That's what I say. Resign and now that's a whole different story because they've got this pornography book that they're having their seniors read. Great questions on it. Hold your ears if you're a prude. When was the last time you wanted to have an orgasm and couldn't? Another good question for you. When was the last time? No. If you found yourself in bed with members of both sex, what would you do? Write about what you would do. It goes on and on and on with this filth in our schools. And the parents are waking up and they're seeing it. One more thing. Hit job on Sherry Tenpenny. A hit shot. Hit job. This is the Rory's report. This is the enemy. Folks, this is the enemy. The gospel of Sherry Tenpenny. COVID-19 misinformation meets Christian nationalism. Hey, friends, they are crapping their pants that we're awake. Coach Dave's mentioned in here. They make fun of. Sherry says this. For those of you who say we Christians, what will your life review look like at the end of your life? Tenpenny asks lawmakers. Will the Lord say to you, you coerce people into being injected with this gene-modifying technology that will irreversibly disrupt your chromosomes? The elected officials ought to be arrested. Resign or arrest. Keep going down. So, friends, you got to understand this. This is a kind of... So they begin talking now about the ChristianRevolution.net. Why? Because they're scared shitless. I'm sorry I said it. Poopless. They're scared poopless. Right? So they go on, they try to make her look like a fool, go on down there, and then starts talks about the ChristianRevolution.com, and they mentioned me and what an idiot I've been, and I've always been an idiot, and wouldn't you know it that something like this would come from this idiot, and all down through there. And so you have to understand that your friends are reading this crap, all right? Your friends are reading this. Last month, Timpenny got a rousing response at Bard's Fest, a Christian nationalist gathering in St. Louis, organized by Scott Kesterson. It talked about sin. How many stories in the Bible about Jesus healing leprosy? Leprosy back in the day was when Jesus was alive and it was an incurable deadly disease. Don't you think he might be able to take care of you in COVID too? Oh, and then Timpenny went on to frame the vaccine proponents as murderous descendants of biblical Nimrod. See, they hate it, folks. They freaking hate the mention. Dr. Sherry, I'm not going to put on a mask. Can I tell you why? Because the Ten Commandments tell me. Go back. I was reading, brother. Go. Because the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments tell me that I should not bear false witness against my neighbor, said Dave Dobbenmeyer, a former high school football coach who once was sued by the ACLU for leading his team in prayer and distributing scriptures to players. Who are we up against? We're at war. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. The precise scope of Timpenny's influence is unclear. But a few days after Bard's Fest, Timpenny, Dobbenmeyer, and Brett, they even mentioned you, they announced a new joint venture. They report they hope to raise $100 million to create Christian training centers. Hey, folks, they're scared. All right, I'm feeling good. I got a lot more. Come on in, Jeff, now, and Dale, then.
Yeah, I coach. I'm sorrowful. Main point, you fired me up yesterday. So I went to the Nazarene Church to talk to the senior pastor. People lied to me. And they have a school, and they're locking the door down. And they're living in fear and standing going offense for Christ. Thank you.
They're not a church. Dale.
Glory, brother. Let me tell you what, when you start off, what are pastors doing about this? I've had these conversations in my church, My congregation knows we're all in this together. We're going to take care of each other. We're going to feed each other. I told them, I said, the reason God gave me the talents to do the construction, when I come into your house and do your electrical or plumbing, I don't want your money. I'm going to go open up your cabinets and take your food. Brother, that's exactly. And you know, that's the beauty of having a small congregation. These guys with 1,000 member churches, they can't take care of all them people.
They don't even want to. What are you talking about? Well, they don't even want to.
You're right. They don't, because they're all getting shot and they get the government money.
Yeah, they want to be taken care of. They don't want to.
Bomb doors open.
Kimberly, come on in.
Hey, we went to a meeting last night, and it was schools, employees from all over Western New York. There were about 58 school districts represented. There were almost 2,000 people there. I wish I had had Coach Dave cards and Christian Revolution cards, but they're going to meet again. They're trying to get organized because a lot of them are going to lose their jobs very soon. And most of them are going to try to stand against this. So
Kim, I'm coming up there Sunday. If people were up there, where do they go, Kim?
They go to Christ Lutheran Church on Route 430 in Bemis Point, New York. But you know what? You have my phone number. If anybody wants to call me, wants to come, you give them my phone number. Okay.
All right.
That's perfect.
My bones started quaking when you said Lutheran Church.
I know this is, he lets us use his, but we don't have a building. We meet in homes almost every week, and every 4 to 6 weeks we have a big group meeting.
All right.
They let us use it for free.
Okay, good. My knees are stopped quaking then.
Yeah.
Come on in, Craig, and then Jeff and Paul.
Yeah, Coach. I had friends of mine that had to go in for eye surgery, and you know, the extortion, the coercion. You know, they had to have the shot. I mean, or they weren't going to allow them to have the surgery, you know. So they may even present to, you know, like, these people, we're going to go blind without the eye surgery. So they took the shot, you know, which I don't know what I'd do in them situations, but I'd say you better get your mind right about what decision you might have to make.
Yeah, brother, you better have your mind made up on that one. Thanks, Craig. Jeff, come on in, and then Paul.
Coach, I think that report you read of all them deaths, I could read a lot of that in 3 minutes.
You sure can, brother. Yeah, you sure can. Hey, listen, folks. Folks, listen. I saw something magical on the internet. Think about this now. Some guy went to speak to the school board. They get 3 minutes, right? He pulled out his iPad and he played about 100 children saying, please don't mask me. Please let one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another for 3 minutes and then walked away. God, is that ever effective? But remember this. The school board is controlled by the insurance company. If you could get an honest school board member to sit down, and they'd tell you, they'd say, listen, coach, here's what's going on. They told us they won't cover us. Our insurance will not cover us if we don't do this. That's what's going on, folks. So you get a good person on the school board, and they get them in the back room, say, hey, listen, you got to protect all the assets and everything. So we got to do this. And what we need is people going to those school boards and come out of them and say in the meeting, hey, listen, folks, I want you to know something. Our entire policy is being driven by the insurance company. I want you all to know that. Right? That's what a real good school board member would do. They're worried about protecting their assets rather than protecting children. Paul, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Two things. Number one, unvaxxed is the new black.
Amen. Unvaxxed is the new black.
And number two, Coach, if you were passing out condoms to your players, would you be a hero?
Oh, my goodness, yes. They'd be defending me left and right, wouldn't they? That's where we are. So, hang on a second. I got somebody to get in here. I know this, but I got to do this while I'm thinking of it. Hey, Spencer, CDC admits spreaders. Another good one for you. The CDC finally admits that fully vaccinated Americans are super spreaders, carrying deadly variants and high viral loads. There it is. CDC finally admits it. It's the vaccinated that are spreading the disease. It's the vaccinated, friends. It's the vaccinated. CDC admits it. Spencer, you can stick that in the chat if you want to. I don't know how we do that. I'm not going to read it to you. This is from Natural News, Ethan Huff. So CDC took people's lives. Look, nothing, can you scroll up a little bit, Spence? Nothing the CDC did. I'm sorry, man. I'm down. I'm reading. There you are. I know you can't read my mind. Stay there. Nothing the CDC did this past year helped bring the cases download, nor did the agency save any lives. To the contrary, by pushing face masks and Fauci flu shots, the CDC took people's lives. All the while depriving the public of the information about how to support their immune systems naturally. We tried to tell everyone, and we were ridiculed repeatedly. To give him credit, so did a former President Donald Trump, who early on revealed that existing off-patient medications like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine would have done the job without the need for medical fascism and injections. Unfortunately, Trump decided to go all in with the deep state by proudly taking ownership of Operation Warp Speed. He did it, friends. We know some of our readers don't like to hear this, but Trump has declared it with his own lips, which makes him no better than Tony Fauci, Rochelle Walensky, or any other medical fascist telling us that all we need to do is get injected in order to buy, sell, keep a job. Revelation 20, come on in, then Don Voss and Joe Allen.
Hey, good morning, Coach.
Hey, listen, does this show rock or what? Go ahead.
I got some news from the war front on COVID. I had a news reporter come by yesterday and interview me for about a half an hour about a 3-foot by 5-foot sign that I have in my front yard saying COVID vaccines are Mr. Yuckface, if you remember that sticker from back
That's
in the day.
Good. That's good.
And then the other side says, trust Jesus, not government, pastors, doctors, teachers and such. And I mean, he seemed open and receptive to what I was talking about. And he seems like he'd be down to listen to us. I referred him to this podcast as well as a few others, and I'm just hoping that maybe we can change some hearts and minds.
Just keep spreading the truth is all we can do, because at some point his editors are going to say, stop doing that. Stop doing that. So spread information as quickly as you, can and move on. Don Voss, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, it's the insurance companies and the government. They're on their second round of taking the money from the government too, talking about the school boards people.
Yep, amen. Joe Allen, Bernie.
Good morning. Can Spencer put in the chat those the list of people that were dying so I can look at that?
Yeah, can you? Yeah, Spencer will do that. Thanks, Joe. Bernie.
Okay, Coach, you got to remember that the insurance companies are controlled by our legislators and our laws.
Right.
There's all times, I've seen so much of the time legislators are, oh, if you make insurance companies cover this, you cover that. So it still goes back to the government.
It still goes back to trusting the insurance company rather than the Lord.
Well, that's absolutely right, because we've been so led that it would be the responsible or the Christian thing to do, to trust somebody other than Jesus. I'm like, that's blasphemy.
Amen.
You know, and the other thing is that you said Christian nationalism. So what do they want? Atheist nationalism? They want you either want to be a godly country or an ungodly country. So
yeah, well, we know unfortunately the ungodly are in control, right? Brett, come on in. Brett White.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Brett.
Everybody, hey, the coach, the unvaxxed are the new leper colony.
Yeah, the new
what the vaxxed look at us as.
That's it. That's where they're headed. And folks, it ain't the unvaxxed. It's the vaxxed that are spreading it. We know it.
And you got a crew of five hard workers down here in Louisiana all chimed in this morning, Coach.
All right. God bless you guys. It's labor of love, isn't it? Some great camaraderie going on. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Tracy, come on in.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to let you know a group of us here are blowing up the phones of all the health departments around the surrounding counties, asking them where we go get tested for the Delta variant. They have no clue. They are going nuts. Lies and everything. There is no testing, but we're blowing them up, and they have to give answers.
It's like I said yesterday, Tracy, everybody, first thing they say, oh, you got the COVID? No, I don't know what I got, but I didn't get the COVID. The hell's wrong with you people? The COVID's been dead for 2 years. Flu's change every year. They don't even make it through the flu season before it mutates. And you get somebody gets the sniffles, oh, he has the COVID. Oh, my God, dumb. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. Coach, you may have brought this up. I had trouble logging in. But members of Congress and their staff don't have to get the shot.
Of course not. The U.S. Postal Service doesn't have to take the shot. Why?
Right.
Because they did the cheating. They did the cheating for Joe Biden, and he's rewarding them. They don't have to take the shot. Go ahead.
So they obviously know there's issues with the shot. And the question keeps coming up. I mean, obviously, we know they're power-hungry, greedy SOBs.
Luciferians.
But why is the entire world going through this? What are they? They're in such a hurry to get this poison into everyone. I mean, it's obviously there's something bigger and badder.
Bigger agenda going on, obviously. Huh? It's Luciferians. It's time to call them out. Call it out for what it is. Make all your soft Christian friends cringe. Oh, Luciferian. No, they're God's people. Jesus loves every one of those Luciferians. I'm telling you, I'm going to stay in a good mood. Go ahead, Betty.
Hey, good morning.
Wait a minute, hang on, Betty. Did I cut you off, Rochelle? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, just one more thing. Everybody knows that this shot really wasn't approved. And if they're forced into it, say, sure, then I'll take the approved vaccine, the Comirnaty, or however it's pronounced, which isn't even available here.
That's right. And we know this right now, that I told you yesterday, some of my friends have called the family doctor and asked him to please give him some hydroxychloroquine, which is almost like aspirin, and the doctors won't do it. Go ahead, Betty.
Hey, good morning. I'm heading back to Ohio. Can't wait to get back with the team and start standing up for everything. But I want to thank everybody for the prayers and the kind words, because there were times when I get a message and I just have tears and made me smile to know that I had such a wonderful family standing behind me. So thank you all. God bless you.
Thank you, Betty. God bless you. Mark Trump, come on in. I'm going to send you something here real quick, Spence. Come on in, Mark.
Hey, Coach, one more thing.
Yep, go.
I took my ivermectin every day.
Atta girl.
Because there's spiritual warfare up there, and I was not bringing it back.
Amen, dear. You're a wise woman. Yeah, Coach, you're a wise woman. Go ahead, Mark.
I wasn't going to jump in until Rochelle mentioned this, but I found out something. I've worked with carbon nanotubes for a long time, and now you're going, what the heck? What's he talking about now? Carbon nanotubes. Well, they're used to create an antenna array. So carbon nanotubes are shaped like hexagons, and they're used to create a radiation surface. You can put carbon nanotubes in paint and shield your house from radiation. So I've already been down that rabbit hole, but they're carbon. What if I were to take carbon nanotubes, which are little hexagon antennas, and turn them into metal? What if I made metal nanotubes out of graphene, out of lead? Mm. So if you look up carbon nanotubes, and secondly, you look up graphene construction, graphene oxide, they're identical. So what they've done is they found a metal that has a construction of a hexagon shape. And that hexagon is what they're injecting on the order of 10 to the 9 power per vaccination of graphene antenna elements. These antenna go into your blood. Now let's go back to Rochelle's question. Why the global push? What if there was a way to flip a switch and all the illegal immigrants wouldn't die? All of Congress wouldn't die, but everyone else with the vaccination did. Because they're equipped with metal. So what is that switch that could be turned on soon? Can anyone think of one?
5G, maybe.
Oh, 5G. Oh, you're talking about a radiation source that's going to be immersing the whole globe, Rochelle. And you have, or the people with the jab, have all these antenna elements enhancing their own bloodstream's ability to receive energy.
Wow.
They could actually burn people up from the inside out. What if?
Bam.
That's what's coming. What if? I'm not saying it is, guys. I'm saying the technology's there to cause you pain if you were in a radiation source. What do you do when you get in an MRI, Coach? They make you remove all what?
Metal.
What do you think a person with graphene in them is going to feel in an MRI machine?
Oh, Mark, stop it. Stop it. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, two things. While Chad is telling us about what's going on down there in Texas this weekend, pull up the picture of my fearfully and wonderfully made grandson. Is that unbelievable? Huh? He's not home yet, but he's fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on in, Chad. What's going on?
Well, hallelujah. God is good. Yeah, well, we just had our monthly Texas Salt Lab Brigade meeting starting here at Friday, 8 p.m., going through the weekend. Also, we're gathering up supplies and things like that to take. I'll be headed over to Louisiana Monday or Tuesday, drop those off, turn around, come back, and then we're headed to Oklahoma next weekend.
All right, man. Chad's place. Stuff's going on everywhere. Go online, check our schedule so you guys know how to jump in there. That's Maggie, who gave birth to that wonderful little baby guy, and he's gaining weight. And I got another picture I'd show, but I don't want to brag. Come on in, Jerry. Then Craig.
God bless you, Coach, and God Thanks. Bless your little grandson. He looks amazing.
Yep.
I just wanted to add to what Mark said. I work with electromagnetism and resonance, and I also work with graphene, and I impart energy into the graphene and wrap a antenna around it and pull the energy out. So if we have this in the vaccine and people have taken it, kind of reminds me of a movie called The Matrix. I'm just saying.
Amen. Don't let this distract you from Jesus, guys. I'm not bringing it up for that reason, but we have to reveal the works of the enemy
to improve
our dialogue with others. We got to believe it, first of all. If you don't believe it, you're not going to feel an urgency. And then from there, amen.
Quick, Craig, come in. And then Spencer, if you will, pull up, I'm sorry, it says Andrew Strom. Pull that up there. Go ahead.
Well, what if you was Satan and you wanted to exalt yourself as God and say you had the capability to flip a switch and a third of the population would just pop over dead?
Well, I think they're heading towards there, aren't they?
I think so too, Coach.
So, friends, I had this discussion with my precious wife last night. I'm not telling stories out of church here. Folks, you understand this? Fear is nothing more than praise of Satan. When you are dominated and controlled by fear, your entire psyche is worshiping the devil. And understand this. Satan has no power nor authority. His only power is deception. So the scripture says that take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you're either going to serve fear or you're going to serve faith. And when you are in fear, what does that say about your trust and belief in Jesus Christ? My wife would say to me, God, I love my wife so much, I just can't even tell you. But she struggles with fear. She loves her grandbaby so much and her children so much, and she's protective. And to try to love her through others, I'm talking not just about my wife, others who are struggling with fear. Fear comes on them. Oh, your baby's going to be born a Down syndrome. Oh, he's going to not have a stomach. Oh, he's going to be. It's all fear information coming into us. And friends, you are never farther away from Jesus Christ when you're worshiping fear. You're never farther away from him. Fear and faith cannot abide in the same heart. They can't. It's fire and water. You cannot put faith and fear into the same heart. So that's why this struggle is so powerful. That's why the enemy is so willing to try to take captive. He's trying to get you to think and serve him. Take captive every thought. Why? Because every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is fear. It's Satan, Luciferian-based fear. And many of you are serving the devil in your worship of fear. Andrew Strom says the article is about why any coming revival must also be a great reformation. I'm sorry. Many Christians take the attitude that the structures and message and model and the entire approach of modern Christianity is mostly fine, just needs a little tweaking here and there. I completely disagree with this. I believe God has plans for a large-scale overhaul, at least as big as the largest reformations in history. You guys, I believe that. I've been saying that. God's closing the churches. God is closing these fake churches. These churches, I'm telling you, well, it's another story. The body of Christ is not the bride of Christ. Sorry. Below are some questions I feel I need addressing. Number one, does it matter that virtually nothing we do today was done like that in the original church? Does that bother you? Our structures, our preaching, our priorities, our systems, our training, our gospel, none of them seem to bear any resemblance to anything you'd find in the Bible. In every way, we are utterly different from the church founded by Jesus and the apostles. When you take these issues one by one, they may seem insignificant. But when you add them up, can anyone tell me why we don't just call ourselves a different religion and be done with it? I mean, we are virtually nothing like them, are we? We talk a lot about getting back to the book of Acts today. What if it involves removing all of this junk? Who's going to take out the garbage? Is anybody really prepared to pay that kind of price? The rejection in your church, the bitterness, the hatred, as you begin to point these things out? You see, folks, revival is one thing. Reformation is quite another. You can get killed with reformation. Go ask Martin Luther. One thing I'm convinced of, there needs to be a large groundswell of ordinary people. This is to you, folks. There needs to be a large groundswell of ordinary people desperate for change, for reformation to succeed. And I'm not sure we have that yet. There's certainly the beginnings of it, but I don't think it's enough. And I don't know what will bring the breakthrough. There needs to be a widespread sense of desperation. I think it's growing, but I don't know how long it will take. And I, for one, am not about to sustain a one-man crusade to keep the pot stirring until then. A groundswell is God's business, not mine. But I'm truly convinced that there must be reformation. I say before revival. Reformation before revival. God can't revive this mess. There must be a new wineskin. Otherwise, we just find ourselves with another three-year revival, like so many that have gone on. Old wineskins leak. That's the lesson of history. You cannot preserve a revival. As a historian, I can tell you that the most long-lasting moves of God always had a strong element of reformation about them. If a new wineskin is created, then sometimes they're able to last for an entire generation. Glory to God. Can you imagine that? I'm convinced that for the last 500 years, since the Great Reformation, God has used each wave of revival to restore the church more and more to its original state. First things he just restored were justification by faith, and then the priesthood of all believers. Then in later moves of God, we see the teaching of the new birth and baptism by immersion and holiness being restored. Huge movements burst forth, evangelizing the earth and restoring lost biblical truths. Just over the last century alone, the original baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts have finally been restored to the church. Since the 1960s, virtually every revival that has occurred around the world has been on a full-on Holy Spirit-filled revival of healings and miracles. All those pieces are in place for a last great push, a full return to the simplicity, the purity, and the power of the early church. Despite all the advances, we've never seen an actual Book of Acts church in all of her raw beauty, holiness, and power. Remember, Jesus is returning for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. I'm praying that the coming revival, we see the end of the Reformation process that has been going on for 500 years. I pray that this will be one that sets the final abandonment of all that religious malarkey and a return to the pristine purity of the original.
Amen.
That's what's going on, friends.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this just as I sign off today. Are you into reformation or rapture? Because you can't be into both. And it's a great, great dichotomy and a great, great divining line. Rapture or reformation? And I think it's time all of us took a good hard look at our own lives, our own behaviors, our own religious processes, and say, I don't want any more of that, Lord. I don't want any more of that. I want to be your body. I want to be part of your body. And I want to build and restore the greatness of the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
See you tomorrow. God bless you.
And we're clear.